Actually, Debbie won't beat yours, use yours.
We're going to go to the book of 1 John. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to make a confession. It's usually hard for me to figure out what to preach. But after about 3 days staying at the Morey's house, it's been pretty easy. We're going to go to the book of 1 John chapter 1. I want to thank Brother Cassiola for letting me come here to preach. I pray and hope that I can be a blessing to the people here. I try to be very mindful of this church and Brother Cassiola when I pray, and try to think about him and pray for him every chance that I get. And I thank God for him. I was thinking earlier today, there's people in your life you don't speak too much and you just see them from a distance, but they are still a blessing in your life as you watch them. I thank God for this church. I thank God for what it stands for. I thank God that it stands on the King James Bible. It stands upon the Word of God. I want to preach tonight about the division of light and darkness in the Scripture. And there's some of you that have heard it, but it'd be good for you to hear it again. And before I start, I want to quote a couple verses of Scripture about light and darkness. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." 1 Peter 2:9 through 10, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, Amen. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 3 through 6, the Bible says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Philippians 2, 15 and 16, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Ephesians 5, 8 through 13, the Bible says, "For when you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." You know, the truth is light.
Amen.
Righteousness is light. Holiness is light. God is light. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have," listen, "we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Hey, if you've ever been saved, you have a treasure in your earthen vessel. If you've ever been saved, the Bible said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. The Bible said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you pass from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Let me tell you something. If you've ever been born of God, you'll love the brethren. If you've ever been born of God, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, the truth is light. Light is the truth. Light is righteousness. Light is holiness. Light is godliness. Light is whatsoever maketh manifest is light. Light reveals truth. It reveals it to you. Well, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message that they heard Jesus Christ preach, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the message that he heard Jesus Christ preach. This is the message. This is the message that the apostles heard Jesus Christ preach. This is the theme of the book of 1 John. This is the message that they heard from the beginning. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, if you will. Genesis chapter 1. Hopefully I can get somewhere. Verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. The message from the beginning was a message of division. A division of light and darkness. Go to the book of St. John, chapter 1.
Amen.
St. John, chapter 1. The Bible said in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, Jesus Christ, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I remember hearing the story about, Gypsy Smith. He was a missionary preacher from England. He talked about it, his dad getting saved. His dad never heard a gospel message, never heard anything about the law of God. But one day he was at the deathbed of a woman in England that was dying, and she said something about Jesus Christ. And she said something about how wonderful and how beautiful, and boom, she died. And it kind of startled him a little bit. Well, there was a disease going around. I'm sure it's why that woman died. But his wife ended up getting the disease. And his wife looked at him on her deathbed. She said, honey, will you promise me whenever I die that you won't ever cuss around the children anymore, and you won't drink around the children and get drunk anymore? And he promised her that. But he realized he couldn't quit his drinking, and he couldn't quit his cussing. He couldn't quit what he was doing. And thought kept coming to him, what about that Jesus that woman was talking about? Wonder what all that was about. So he determined that he was going to go to England. And on the way to England, he ran into his brother. And his brother had been feeling the same sort of conviction, bothered over a sin, sinning, and he couldn't quit his sin. And they were talking to each other. They said, I'm bad, and I don't know how to quit being bad. I don't know how to stop doing what I'm doing. So I'm going to England, and I'm going to try to find out something about God. And they went there, and his dad got saved. What do you say that is? That's that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, and to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of the of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a difference between the light and the darkness. The light, he came into the world, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, I want to say this. If you're in here today, you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. One of the things that's taken place is in the world is a lot of confusion and misunderstandings and such. But don't misunderstand this, that God is a very simple God. And let me tell you something. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, and in him is no sin at all. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. Either you're in the light or you're in the darkness. Well, John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. People think they don't hate God. Let me tell you something. If you ain't saved, you've got a problem with God, friend. Amen. You've got a problem with God. Let me tell you something. He said, they will not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. People love their sin. People love their ungodliness. People love their iniquity and their rebellion against God. People love their drinking and their doping and their sin. People love their foulness and their ungodliness. And they love it so much, they will not come to the light. You wonder why people ain't saved? You know why children don't get saved? It's because they don't seek God, they don't want God, and they don't love God. Let me tell you something. If you'll seek him, you'll find him. That's what he said. What was his name? Zacchaeus. He climbed into a sycamore tree seeking him. Let me tell you something. When a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior when they come together, he'll get saved. Amen. He'll get saved. Amen. Let me tell you something. The reason why you're not finding him is because you ain't looking for him. That's why. The Bible says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. People love their ungodly deeds. That's what it is. You know, it's awfully hard for people to see the depths of their very inward parts. I try to communicate it to the children in our church when they're in there, when I preach. But I grew up with people around preacher's sons, preacher's daughters, all these things. You know what? They would tithe and everything else when they come of age to make money. I know of a preacher's son. Whenever he would get paid, he would take all of his money and he would give it to missionaries. He's in sin today. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all else. Who can know it? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. I know preachers' children that are sodomites today. I got a report not too long ago. Brother McVeigh, he heard the same report about a man not too far from where me and my wife just moved from. He's a pastor up there. I've never heard anything bad about him. He had a son that just came out as a homosexual. Now, I imagine for years and years, that same son would run his mouth about homosexuality. I imagine that he sat in the church and criticized women wearing pants. I just imagine that. My wife knows who I'm talking about. I've seen church children, they grow up, and the ones that seem to run their mouth the hardest about ungodly things are the ones that go out and they do the worst thing. That's how deceitful and wicked the heart is. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all else. Who can know it? I tell you what the heart likes. It likes murder, and that's what the heart likes. I tell you what your heart likes. It likes fornication. That's what the heart likes. Your heart likes drunkenness. That's what the heart likes. Amen. Whatsoever maketh manifest is light. Let me tell you something. Some of you walk around and you act like you're squeaky clean and everything else. You ain't fooling anybody. You're no different than anybody else. You're no different than anybody else. Let me tell you something. Your flesh loves sin just as well as anybody else loves sin. Your flesh desires ungodliness just like everybody else does. And it may be different, and for whatever reason, you can grow up in a Baptist church, and as long as you don't smoke cigarettes or dope and drink and you don't commit adultery, you're doing pretty good. But there's a whole lot more ungodliness than that.
Amen.
There's a lot of things that God hates. God, let me throw this one out there. God hates your self-righteousness. He hates it. God hates your self-righteousness. You can wear a dress as long as the Empire State Building, but you ain't been born of God. You're going to bust hell wide open when you die. You understand that? I don't have a problem with dresses. But if that's all you've got, you're going to go to hell when you die. Some of you sit around and criticize people that don't dress like you. If you ain't been born of God, you're going to go to hell too. You'll go to hell with the sodomites and the perverts and the hippies and everything else under the sun. You'll go to hell with all them while you're pointing your fingers at them. God hates your self-righteousness. There ain't nothing good about you. The problem is you just haven't seen it yet. Just ain't seen it yet. And you know what? There's times in my life where I get pretty self-righteous and God will remind me of how vile I really am. I get pretty self-righteous every now and then, but some of those vile thoughts that I'll have, God will remind me real quick like how vile and ungodly I am. I talk to my dad all the time. You know what? Every now and then I'll get caught up talking about somebody being ungodly. They did this ungodly. They did that ungodly. And then it'll hit me. What about you? What about what you did the other day? But we're pretty self-righteous, aren't we? God hates your self-righteousness just like he hates a person being a drunk. God hates your self-righteousness just like he hates a person being a dope head. God hates your self-righteousness just like he hates being a fornicator. He hates your self-righteousness just as much as any of the rest of it. It's pretty quiet in here. It's pretty quiet. But that's all right. I'm trying to preach the Bible to you. The Bible said, "For not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Not by our works. It's what he did. Well, I want to talk to you just a few moments where the gospel, you find Jesus Christ dividing the light from the darkness. First place you find it, is in the book of Matthew chapter 10. There's a division of light and darkness. I was thinking about it. Brother McVeigh was preaching out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. When you go down through there, there's a lot of wonderful things that take place by faith. Noah, he was delivered in the flood from the flood. Pretty wonderful thing. You go through there, Abraham, by faith, he had his son Isaac. You go down the list of all those men, there's some pretty wonderful things. You get down there to the end, and it said there were some of those men by faith. Listen real close. By faith, they were sown asunder. By faith, they were killed. What about that? Some men got to go through the flood without being killed. There were some men that got to be tortured to death by faith. There's some men that got to be persecuted by faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but I am not to come to send peace, but a sword. Now, every safe person that's ever been born again has never, as far as I know, I've never really wanted to cause problems with family members. I've never wanted that. He said, I come not to send peace, but a sword. I've never wanted to go around causing problems with people. It's awfully funny to me. You can live like hell, and people can sit and think, man, if something don't happen to him, that man's going to end up dead or in jail, or he's going to end up in some bad way. He's going to end up in a mental institution. Something don't happen to him. He'll get born of God and everybody will hate him for it. It's amazing to me. God puts the love of God in your heart and you actually start to love people and people hate you for it. Isn't that how it is? It's amazing. You don't go out to intent. If you go out to intentionally cause problems with people, you probably need to get right with God. There's a lot of folks that think people have problems with them because they're a Christian or this or that. Sometimes people have problems with you because you act like a fool. It's just reality of it. And you go around trying to make people mad. Guess what? You try to make them mad, they're going to get mad. It's a lesson I've tried to learn in my life. I'll say something and realize what I said, and then I'll ask Amber, I wonder why people don't like me. But there's probably a good reason why. Verse 35, he said, I'm not come to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And some of you women can say amen right there. And the Bible said, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What about that? There's a division in the family because of light and darkness. Amen. You know what? You want your family to be saved. You want your friends to be saved. I learned real quick, like, you don't have to try to cram the gospel down people's throat to get them to be done with you. All you got to do is live according to that Bible and love them, and they'll be done with you.
That's right.
People worry about their friends. Well, when I get saved, what about my friends? Are they going to drag me down? Well, if you live that Bible, you won't have to worry about that too much. They'll get gone from you. And some of your family members will get gone from you. And that's just the reality of it. That's the reality of it. You'll have the love of God in your heart for people, and they'll sit and turn around and crush you for it. You'll love them for the first time in your life, and they'll crush you for it. Isn't that something? That's the reality of it. The first division that I find, well, that I pointed out, is that of the family. Number two, there's a division of baptisms. Luke chapter 3. Division of baptisms. And it's Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. There's another division, the division of baptisms. He said he'll baptize some with the Holy Ghost. He'll baptize some with fire. There's some people that preach that baptism of fire joint together as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll find a lot of some Baptists, some Pentecostal people. That's not what it's talking about. He tells you what it's talking about in the following verses. There's some people that'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And if you've ever been saved, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to look up to heaven to find Him. You don't have to go some far out distance to search out for Him. If you've been born of God, He's in you. The Bible said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, for you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, in your members, in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own, God. You belong to Him. Amen. The Bible tells us that we've received the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. Let me tell you something. Every now and then, people talk about heaven and all these things. Every now and then, if you're saved, you might get a little glimpse of it every now and then.
Amen.
You might get a little glimpse of it every now and then. Why? The Bible said, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let me tell you something, the Spirit of God lives on the inside, and He reveals truth to you. The Spirit of God lives on the inside. Let me tell you something, you can be driving down the road and you don't know where it comes from, and you'll be singing the songs of Zion. And God will show up in the car with you. And God will ride down the road with you. Let me tell you something. You can be in your secret place praying. And God will reveal some truth to you. And God will fill you with the joy of God and the peace of God which passeth understanding. That's what it's like to be saved. It's what it's like to be saved. I didn't have to be coached into any of that. That just happened to me.
Amen.
Didn't have to be coached into it. It just happened to me. I just so happened to find myself as a young born-again person driving down the back roads in Davie County and singing the songs of Zion and tears rolling down my face and me shouting and acting like a fool inside of my car. That's what happens when you get saved. That's what happens. God will be just as real to you as the flesh on your bones.
Yes.
God will be just as real to you as the air that you breathe.
Right.
Let me tell you something, it ain't a bunch of rules. It's something that you delight in. You get to walk with Him. You get to walk with Him. It's just wonderful. And but there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you've got Him. You've got Him. And there's a baptism of fire. And there's some, probably, I don't know, maybe the majority of people in here, you'll probably have that one. The Bible says that whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. He's going to gather the chaff and he's going to burn it with fire unquenchable. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's more profitable for thee to enter into life having one hand than having both to be cast into hell fire. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting punishment. Prepare for the devil and his angels. There's a baptism of fire. He's going to gather those that are lost. He's going to put them in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Go to the book of Revelation real quick. I believe it's chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. He said, a lot of this chapter is talking about the 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Amen. Where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, why do you say amen? I got brothers that are strung out on all kinds of ungodly sin. That's why I say amen right there about the devil. Because I have family members that have been destroyed by the vices of Satan himself. I got friends that are on their way to hell. I have family members that have died and went to hell. The devil is the reason, big reason why. Big reason why. Not the only reason why. They could have been saved. He deceived them. Listen, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Listen to these words. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. How holy. How holy. How righteous. How mighty. How powerful. The earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Let me tell you something. There's people sitting inside this building. If you don't get saved, you'll be there. You'll be there. You will be there. There's the division of baptisms. There's the division of the true and the false brethren. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. There's some folks, they know nothing spiritual. They're awfully religious, but they ain't got a spiritual bone in their body. Right. If you hang around them long enough, you figure it out.
Right.
Sometimes it takes me a while. But you'll find out there's some people, they ain't got a spiritual bone in their body. They ain't ever had a spiritual thought. They can't even divide the scriptures correctly. They claim to be a Christian. Well, Matthew 13, verse 24. Might ought to get there. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Let me say before I read this, this is basically the essence of the book of 1 John. This passage that I'm reading to you. It's the essence of the book of 1 John. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So there was a man that sowed good seed in the field. That's the word of God. There's another enemy that came in and sowed false seed. Those are the tares, the wheat and the tares. You know, tares look pretty close to wheat. They can sometimes look pretty close to it. And it can look pretty similar. But if you get real close, you find out it ain't the same.
Uh-huh.
No, that tare don't produce anything profitable. Don't produce anything profitable. That wheat does. That wheat does. That tare don't produce anything profitable. Well, I'll keep reading. The Bible said, verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Hey, that's the difference between the true and false. The difference between true and false. And let me tell you something, there's been a great deception. Great deception in our churches. There's folks that think just because they don't cuss and they don't drink beer, they don't commit fornication, and there's probably not a whole lot of them that don't do those things, just throwing that out there. And their thoughts are about as wicked and vile, and they're full of iniquity. They sit around and look at pornography all the time and live like hell in their heart and imagine evil things and have secret lives and filled with all kinds of perversions in their heart. But they're not out committing adultery like those other people out there. They think they're doing okay. You must be born again. You must be born again. Well, you say that for? Because God will take the inward parts that you've got and He'll change you on the inside. And He'll make a new person out of you. And He'll give you new desires. He'll make you a new person. Let me tell you something. You don't have the desires to do a lot of the things that you used to do. And let me tell you something. You don't desire to hang around the same people that you used to hang around. And I really like it. People used to really have a problem with it. Brother Sammy Allen, he used to talk about going down to the drive-in theaters. He said, I said to the drive-in theaters, goodbye. He said, I said to the stock car races, goodbye. He said, I said to the NASCAR races, goodbye. He said, to the chicken fights, goodbye. He said to the drinking houses, goodbye. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of things When I got saved, I said goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to it. I said goodbye. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you'll say to a lot of things in this world, goodbye. That's what happens when you get saved. God will change you on the inside. You don't want to listen to that old rock and roll music no more. You don't want to listen, God forbid that any man in here, especially because he's white, wants to listen to rap music. You won't want to do that no more. And you won't want to listen to this. If you listen to this country music today, it's about as effeminate and girly as can be. Most of this country music. These boys get in their big old trucks and they think they're tough because they got a cowboy boots on, getting a big truck. And they listen to some of the girliest stuff I ever heard in my life. Think they're a man. And it's amazing. You might find out, I find out through the grapevine, some of them probably go down there and get them some manicures and pedicures too. You might find out. Yeah, I know I'm telling it right. I'm telling something from experience. But it's just the way it is. They think they're big old tough boys, a bunch of wimps. But
that's right.
True and false. True and false. Some people ain't ever had a spiritual thought in their life. Some people are being propped up by mommy and daddy.
That's it.
Some people are being propped. Some people, the only thing you got is what your mommy and your daddy gave you, and that's about it. About the only thing some people have got. About the only thing they've got is some standards that their daddy gave them. Well, so right. About the only thing that some people grow up in church they get is some kind of thing that their daddy or their mama gave them. They ain't ever had a spiritual original thought in their life.
Yep.
Ain't ever. They never had a standard for themselves. When they get to a certain age, you find out those standards were just a big joke to them anyways.
Right.
Find out what they really were.
Right.
You know, it's a sad thing. I've just seen it too much. Just seen it. There's some people, they think that they got you fooled pretty well. I've seen people, little boys and girls, they grow up in church. I heard a girl one time, she told me, she said, I'm just not interested in any boys right now. I want to try to do the right things. And she's about 16 or 17. I said, girl, you're a liar. You're a liar. What 16-year-old girl don't want a boy to like them? I said, you're a liar. Come to find out, sneaking out of the house, doing vile things in the basement and everything, sneaking people in at nighttime where their parents didn't know. I've just seen too many of these things.
Yeah.
I've heard of people, they were doing some spiritual acts. They said they'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray, but they're also getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning running off with somebody else in the church's wife. I'm talking about teenage boys now. And some of you think you got people fooled. I know what's in the heart of people. Jesus told me. Jesus told me what's in your heart. He told me that. About the only thing some people got is what their daddy did. I'm glad I got something a little bit more than what my daddy gave me. I like what my daddy had. I like what my daddy had, but I got something other than what my daddy had. I got something other than what my daddy gave me.
Yes, glory to God.
I got Jesus Christ. That's what happened. Something a little bit more than that. And some people do pretty well. You know what? I know I'm getting off a little bit, but that's all right. I remember Brother McVeigh will know who I'm talking about, preacher's son down in North Carolina. You know what he told me? He told me we were driving somewhere through Virginia one night, and he told me, he said, you know what? I don't think he's a bit more saved than anything. He said, when I got saved, I didn't change at all. And another man was, a young man was there. He was talking about it. He actually, the young man's been to this youth week the first year. He liked it a lot. He ain't been back since. But anyways, they're talking about it. He said, you know what? Before I got saved, I really enjoyed going to church and doing all that sort of stuff. There's some people, point of that is this. There's some people, they just like the things of religion.
Right.
They just like the culture of religion.
Right.
They just like having friends and the safety of it and everything else. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They ain't ever prayed in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They ain't ever prayed in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you ought to pray. pray in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You ought to get something about you, get a burden, and get a heart for the people of God. Get a heart for some lost people and pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what you ought to do.
Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's on my way up here, and I was thinking about there's little girls in our church that are going to bust hell wide open if they don't get saved. There's grown-ups in our church going to bust hell wide open if they don't get saved this week. You know, some people, they carry on with such foolishness, such silliness, and let silly, foolish, ungodly things get their attention from God. And there's people going to hell. Let me tell you something. Half the time, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Don't walk with God. I taught Isaiah back there. I don't know where he's at. I taught him how to preach. I told him, all you got to do is tell him, you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you live in sin, you're wicked! Help me out, Isaiah. That's how you preach. That's how you preach. Start them out right. Start them out right. Well, there's the division of that which is true and that which is false. This is the message of Jesus Christ. There's the message of judgment. Division in the judgment. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Hey, let me throw another one out there. There's some of you, you ain't ever worshiped God a day in your life.
Watch it now.
You ain't ever worshiped God a day in your life, and you claim to be a Christian.
Oh boy!
I'm pretty ashamed of my worship life. I'm pretty ashamed of how I praise God, but I have. I've worshiped Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And you ought to worship Him. If you're saved, you ought to worship Him.
That's right.
What is that all talking about? Well, have you ever been overtaken of Him? Has He ever been more to you than yourself? Has He ever been awfully great to you? Has He been wonderful to you? Has He ever been higher than you in your heart? Has He ever been glorious to you? Have you ever seen Him? My dad, he was preaching not too long ago over there in the book of Songs of Solomon about Him skipping along the hills. I saw Him. I saw Him. And it's an awful thing about the state that we're in. She saw Him through the lattice. She saw Him through, but she saw Him. Do you see Him? Do you see Him in the secret place? I'm telling you, He's wonderful.
Amen.
He's glorious. He's holy. You ever see Him? Well, Matthew 25, 31. Some of you are too proud to worship God. Some of you are too proud to praise God. You know, I've dealt with people that really, Brother McFarland, he'll probably understand this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just critical because I have some Smith blood in me. Some of you know my grandma. You'll understand. But there's some of these people, that one of the biggest reasons why they can't sing is because they're so stinking proud. They're proud. That's the reason why they can't sing. They're scared somebody will make fun of them. They're scared somebody will say something about them. You ought to just shuck all that stuff and just praise God. Just shuck all that stuff. You know what? I've been so silly and foolish as to be in church services where I thought I would bust and just sit there thinking, having all these, I wonder what they'll say about me. How foolish. How foolish. I was in a church, a camp meet not too long ago, and the people, they were up there singing, and it was about as godless as could be, and the girl, she was dressed just as provocative as any woman you ever seen in your life, getting up there acting like she's holy. And I just sat there, and I was about greed with a lot of the stuff that was going on. And then there was just a little goofy family. And I said, you know, I was watching, I told Amber, I said, that's the kind of family that would probably fit in at our church. They're kind of goofy walking up there. It took them about 25 minutes to flip through their songbook to find the right page to sing. And they got up there, and they began to sing The Wonder of Wonders. Oh, how can it be? I sat in the middle. I thought I was going to die. What are you talking about? Jesus getting bigger than you are.
Amen.
Has he ever been bigger than you are? Has he ever been bigger than your personality? Has he ever been bigger than your flesh? Has he ever been bigger than your character? Has he ever been bigger than all that to you? I hope he is. I hope he has been. Well, maybe I can get to Matthew 25. Can't worship because you're ungodly. Can't worship because you are ungodly. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Amen. All things are going to be put under His feet. Bible said we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. We see not all things yet put under Him. He's going to put the governments under Him. He's going to put the kings of the earth under Him. He's going to put every lost person under Him. He's going to put every saved person. They'll be in subjection to Him. He's going to put death under Him. That's the last enemy. He's going to put death under Him. He's going to sit upon the throne. He's going to be with His holy angels. He's going to sit on the throne. Verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come ye, my blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you're saved, that's you. That's you. Brother Asquith, he preached at our church not too long ago. He talked about that kingdom of God living on the inside of us. If you're saved, you have that. One of these days, it's going to be flipped inside out. Woo! It's going to be flipped inside out. And I might act a fool. Well, every now and then I get a little glimpse of it. That spirit that He's given me. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's talking about the love of the brethren. You love the brethren? Hey, do you love the brethren? If you don't love the brethren, you're not saved. If you don't love the brethren, you're not saved. The Bible said, these things ever written unto you that you may know that you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren.
Amen.
The Bible said, he that hateth his brother, 1 John chapter 2, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Amen.
That darkness has blinded his eyes. The Bible said, if you see your brother or sister in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Philippians 2, look not every man on his own things, but also upon the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind of Christ. He loved. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He came not to be ministered unto. That's what He said. Well, let's move on. He said, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. There's the division in the judgment of God. Division of the judgment of God. Division of the sheep and the goats. You know, the sheep and the goats, their diet isn't the same thing. Their diet isn't the same thing. And you know, goats, they require copper. to be able to live and to make it. They need copper, but a sheep, if it eats a lot of copper, it'll kill it. Sheep and goat don't feed on the same thing. What are you feeding on? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, listen, is not in him. For all that is in the world, this is darkness now. Amen. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of this Father, but they're of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever.
Amen.
The world, listen now, is made up of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Same thing that got Eve in the garden. Same thing Jesus was tempted whenever he fasted for 40 days. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Some people love this world. They love it. They love it. They love pornography and all kinds of filthiness. They love dope. They love their drinking. They love their sin. You know, it's a crying out loud shame. It's a pitiful thing. The division. I want to be very brief, but I want to go just real quick through the book of 1 John and show the divisions in the book of 1 John. I told you it was the basis of that book. Preached this when I was over there in Africa, but I don't think any of them were listening, so hopefully they got to hear it this time. Say amen, girls. Hey, where are you? Well, I tried to preach it. There's a division in fellowship. 1 John 5, 1-7, that's my text. Division in fellowship. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's the division of fellowship. The Bible said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret.
Amen.
Division and fellowship. He said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Amen. What fellowship hath the table, cup of devils and the table of God? What fellowship have they? Amen. That's what people try to do in this world.
Yep.
That's what people try to do with religion. They try to join the devil in the darkness of this world and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them together so they can win people. God's light. There's no darkness in him.
Amen.
He's holy. Not only that, there's division of the abiding faith and the not abiding faith. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost living on the inside. You have that unction from God. You have that unction from him. You have an abiding faith. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Remember I said that parable about the wheat and the tares, the essence of the book of 1 John? Jesus was warning his apostles, his disciples, while he was on this earth, that there would be men that would come in and they would pervert the gospel, they would pervert the truth and turn it into something that it wasn't supposed to be. That spirit of Antichrist was in the world with John. It shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, for whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That unction, that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost living on the inside, that anointing that you have, leads you and guides you into truth. He don't lead you into error. He leads you into truth. He will guide you into truth. So you'll abide in the truth. You'll abide in the truth. People that get into error and stay there, they never get it right, may not ever have been saved.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
May not ever have been saved. Well, 1 John 3:6. I'm trying to be brief. I know everybody's wanting to go down to the Vatican. Brother McDay texted me and told me. He said, well, I told him, I plan on preaching for 6 hours, so maybe we'll get breakfast over there. fellowship. Fellowship, that abiding faith. We have a separation, a division of who our fathers are. 1 John 3:6. The Bible said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, for he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brethren. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's the message from the beginning. Let me tell you something. You have a born again man, new man living on the inside that cannot sin. The Bible said, for I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man.
Amen.
People talk about legalism. They talk about, they'll say, well, he's a legalist because he preaches all these stuff. I don't think that I have to do all these works to be saved. I don't think I have to work my way into heaven. But I do believe when you get saved, God does a work in you and changes
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God does a work and he changes you and right. makes you a new person.
Amen.
God does it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So what happens? You have a division of fathers. If you do not righteousness, you're of your father the devil. You know what's interesting? Brother Asquith, I say it in our church, I don't have to get an FBI interrogator to find out who Michael Asquith's daddy is.
Right.
I don't have to get an FBI interrogator to figure out who Isaiah Asquith's grandpa is.
Right.
I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to get blood tests for all that stuff. I listen to Michael talk. It reminds me so much of his daddy. It's crazy. I watch him walk and it reminds me of his daddy. Sometimes when I act awful hateful at the house, Amber tells me that I'm acting awful lot like that. I don't know. Whenever I do bad, she always says something about my dad. I don't know what that's all about. But you tell who their daddy is. I think when you're born of God, people can tell who your daddy is. They ought to be able to. They ought to be able to. Well, not only that, there's a division of spirits. I'm trying to be quick. I really am.
You
division.
Don't know how.
I'm trying. I told people at our church I'm going to be brief, and then I go like for an hour and something. 45 minutes, 3 hours, I don't know, however long it is. Well, but there's a division in spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Whereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in this world. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That spirit of Antichrist is pulling on people. It pulls on people within the church. It pulls on them. You want to know another purpose of the book of 1 John? This is what he said. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wrote these things that you may know. He wanted to clear up any confusion from any false spirit, from any false doctrine. He wanted to clear it up. That you may know that you've passed from death into life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wrote that to people that believe.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
He wrote that to people that believe, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Yeah. Why? Because that false spirit pulls away. It pulls you from the truth. Pulls you from the truth. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? He told that he feared lest they received another spirit. They received another spirit. That church of Galatia, they received another spirit. There's a division of spirits. There's a division of spirits. Listen now. Verse 5, They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Hey, isn't it something that the world don't just flood our churches? I don't know. Sometimes I think it might be because of my preaching. Maybe I'm a little too long. I don't know what it is, but they don't like my message. They don't like the message. But there's some messages that they do like, and they hear them. They hear them. They hear them. There's some people in here, you're sitting in here and you're lost. You don't hear the message. You don't hear the message, but you'll hear some false doctrine. Isn't that something? They'll hear that. Well, there's those spirits. Try the spirits, whether they're of God, for many false prophets are going out into the world. 1 John 5:10-13. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. There's the division of those that believe and don't. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's the division. Those that believe and don't believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for letting us be in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, I pray somehow, some way that you could take this message and be a help to the people of God, be a help to those that are lost. And dear God, I pray that you'd deal with the hearts of people. And God, that you'd help us to see the things that we need to see. God, I pray that you'd bless this church and bless the pastor. And I pray that you'd deal with the young people this week during Youth Week. And God, that you'd shake them out of their frame, that they might see Jesus Christ for who he is, that they worship him and believe him. I love you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ.